Thanks, Sean, and you're listening to Community Matters from the Woodfield Hotel in Clifton. We're looking at sport for the next while, and I'm joined across me now by Scruff from the GAA front, and we have Mark Foyle and Kieran Staunton representing Connemara Rugby. You're all very welcome here today, gentlemen. And Jack, I'm going to start with you first, because you've had an illustrious career both with Clifton and Galway. You might just take me back, though. Where were you from in the area?
I was born in a place, Clyderduff, out near Cleggan, and spent my youth there playing minor football and with Cleggan and Clifton. In 63, went on to a boarding school in Galway, St. Mary's, and spent 5 years there. Came under the influence, I suppose, of Bosco McDermott, who was on the Galway 3-in-a-row team.
Yeah.
And he trained us, and whatever bit of football was in us, he brought it out of us. And I was still playing with Clifton during the holidays. And 68 finished. And 66, I had started playing minor with Galway. I played minor with Galway for 3 years, played under the 21 for 3 years, never won any Connacht championships. Had the first game with Galway, I suppose, in 1969 at the opening of a pitch up in Kilmessan and Meath, and played with Galway up until 1976.
Wow. It was an illustrious career, and you mentioned Bosco McDermott. He was an inspirational leader on a football pitch.
Yeah, he was, I suppose, and at that time, you know, the 3 in a row was absolutely huge, and to have one of the teachers, one of the players as your teacher, and, you know, on the pitch with you every day, and, you know, passing on tips to you, and then Sam Maguire would be brought in and left in the corridor and for a couple of days during the holidays, a lot of lads' names were scraped on the bottom of the cup, put on to Bosco. I think there's a new Sam Maguire now, because I think there were so many names scraped on it that it possibly was ready to disintegrate. But it went on then to 69 for played the first championship against Roscommon in 69. Mayo beat us in replay in Castlebar.
And, I'm sorry.
These things happen, but that was the year, I think, Liam Salmon stood in the ball, just gone over the line for a goal for Galway, and if the goal went in, we would have won. But as it was 70, we went on. We played 3 finals in 4 years, in 71 against Offaly, 73 against Cork, and 74 against Dublin, and sadly we lost all 3 finals through lack of a free taker, I think, more than anything else. Our free taker, John McLaughlin from Mycullen, was out injured.
Okay.
And Dublin had Jimmy Keaveney at the time, and Offaly had Tony McTeague, and you know, they were the big difference in the matches.
Mm.
But we had a great time. I was only lucky enough to get on the first All-Stars team in 71, and we toured San Francisco and California. You know, we had a great time. Got to play at Wembley Stadium, the soccer stadium that time, the All-Ireland semi-finalist. Went to Wembley at June, went bank holiday weekend, and played matches at Wembley Stadium. Stadium was a bit small for Gaelic football, but we didn't mind. We had a great weekend over there. You know, with up to 40,000 Irish at attendance in the first years, but then it slowly dwindled away and it came to an end. It was a pity, because it was a great way of getting the Irish together over there and meeting up with the players and teammates from over here.
I know you actually met up with some of the crew from that Dublin team there for the 50 year anniversary.
Yeah, last I think it was just 2 weeks, Jimmy Duggan and Gay Mitchell, who was captain of that Galway team, organised a trip through Sean Doherty, who was the captain of the Dublin team. They were having a fundraiser in Crow Park for a hospice in Dublin that they raise funds for every year, because the late Anton O'Toole and Brian Mullins, who played against us, in 74. They both died from brain tumours in that in hospital hospice. So they run the fundraiser every year. So they had a huge fundraiser in Crow Park itself. There was 500 tables.
At, wow.
500 people, I suppose, at 1,200 a table. So it was at 1 o'clock on a Friday. It was quite a good gathering. So 12 of us went up by train. We met a few other guys from Galway up there and had a fabulous afternoon with them. You know, they looked after us highly. Now they're coming back to Galway in the end of June, and they're staying out in the Clybourne Hotel on Friday, the 29th of June, and we're playing golf on the Saturday in Galway Salt Hill.
Lovely.
As a challenge against them. So it's nice to meet up with fellas once you get to know who they are again, because a lot of fellas are looking at you and you're looking at them, and guys without hair and no makeup.
And talk to me about your career as a guard as well, because you moved around, you played with different GAA teams. Is it true you got shot in Cork?
Yes. When I joined in 69, I went to Middleton. I was supposed to be coming to Ballinasloe. The GAA were supposed to have enough pull to get me to Ballinasloe and be playing with Ballinasloe. But John Tulldon, who was in charge of Galway at the time, didn't have as much pull as he thought. I think there was some Mayo man in charge of the...
Starting already.
Allocation of the stations in Templemore, and I was sent down to Middleton. And had no transport, so it was a long way from Middleton to Tuam for training or back home. Spent a year there, moved up to Cork City, where I joined St. Nick's Glen Rovers, that had been Christy Ring's hurling club, Jack Lynch's, and spent 4 years there. They were quite a good club, but hurling was more kind of thought of and pushed in it than football. Had a couple of teammates on it who were playing for Cork at the time, and we played Cork in the 73 final. Now there were two teammates of mine playing for Cork, as Dennis Collin and Terry O'Brien, and so the club were guaranteed an All-Ireland medal. But Christmas Eve 1972, I was car packed, ready to come home, and was out on duty late, and was unlucky enough to get shot in the shoulder. Was ricocheted down here into my neck, and there's part of the bullet still here in my shoulder.
Wow.
Spent 3 weeks in hospital, I suppose, and lucky enough to survive it, because if it hadn't hit the collarbone, it was going in behind my ear, and that was it. But
wow.
Recovered well and was back playing football again, I suppose, by June. It was hard to stay away from it.
And you eventually got your way back up, and you moved full-time to Clifton in what, early 2000s?
No, I moved to Spittle in 81.
Yeah.
And spent 8 years in Spittle. And Spittle was a lovely town at the time, and it still is. But had great friends in it. There was booming with Irish music and a lot of great characters in it. No trouble, no problems in it. You know, it was an easy town to be a guard. Had Irish as a youngster, but had lost it. But then when I came back to Spittle, I had to get, you know, you had to do your work through Irish. So, and the Banshee never spoke anything but Irish to us. So my Irish came back to me again. Moved from there to a little station called Recess, which is about 12 miles off the road here from Clifton.
Yeah.
That was in the height of the problems with the school there, the teacher, and it dragged on for quite a while, but Recess was lovely. There was no problems in it. My children were at school there, I got into training the underage footballers here in Clifton with a few local guys, Tim Hickey, Joe O'Malley. My young son was playing. We won two county underage leagues with him in the late 90s, I think. I'm not sure of the date. So moved into Clifton.
And you're also involved in the golf club as well?
Sorry?
You're also involved in the golf club locally as well?
Yes, I fitted in the golf, a bit of golf as well. I started playing golf when I was in Spittle. A little bit. They moved up here and became member of the club here. Was made captain in 1990, and was involved in the committee for maybe 12 years. So it was great. It's a great, huge addition to the area. And the amount of people and that it brings in into the area to Americans love it, because the more Americans play for golf, the better they think the course is, and it brings an awful lot of societies out here on Saturdays, and most of them stay in the area.
Brilliant. I want to also go to the two lads from Connemara Rugby. We have Mark Foyle and Kieran Staunton, who is the president of the club. Mark, to you first, though. You're welcome onto the programme today, and you've been involved with Connemara Rugby for a number of years.
Thank you, John. Yeah, and as somebody once said, follow that. I'm not sure. In fact, I know I don't have Jack's recollection nor his breadth of life experience, or indeed, we certainly on the rugby field weren't playing at anything like the level he was on the Gaelic football pitch. But look, no more than himself, we had great times. The rugby is a bit of an outpost out here in Connemara, you know, for a long time our nearest competition was Galway City or Westport. It's great to see the Rook Gerard have set up and are growing year on year and are now working with us at underage level. So I suppose I joined up at a very fortuitous time in that Connemara had been a junior club really all their lives, and we kind of came along where a few of us came out of boarding schools, lads from Garbally, and sort of joined together with an older crew of, I suppose you might call, Hardy Bucks, the likes of Bernard Caney, Frankie Madden, the O'Toole's, and we went on to win, I think, the double-double. We won the Cup and League back-to-back, and at that stage, you know, where some of the older lads hadn't been ready to take the step up to the IL, we felt that we had sort of proven ourselves in Connacht, and we were ready to move on. And the following year then, we managed to get promotion up into the AIL to Division 3. And I suppose, like a lot of teams that are promoted, we were on a bit of a roll. There was a great vibe going. The travelling around the country was fresh. You know, every weekend was a new experience for us. And we had a great first year and managed to finish in the top four, which allowed us into a playoff against Greystones up in Wicklow, which I don't think they or many folk gave us much hope, but we managed to turn them over on the day. Again, he'll be mentioned later on, but the great Henry O'Toole featured in a big way in that match. And look, we went on to, we had a great day in Lansdowne Road, no more than Jack's memories in Wembley. I mean, any day you get to play in your one of your national stadiums is a great day. It was the old Lansdowne Road back then, playing Trinity College, so
wow.
Two very different teams. But anyway, look, we had unbelievable support on the day. I mean, I think half of Connemara travelled up, and they helped to carry us over the line just about against Trinity.
Yeah.
So that was probably a major highlight for us all.
I know you played with someone who has just announced his retirement from Connacht.
Indeed, Tiernan. Well, yeah, I mean, as I said to you before, we probably had more interaction with Aidan over the years, but I do recall, I think there was a pre-season game just before Tiernan was maybe brought into the academy. So I guess that's going back 15, 20 years. And I had the same feeling. I saw Keith Earls play in an under-20s game one time, and he looked like he never got out of third gear, and was just gliding. And Tiernan, exactly the same. He was playing outside me, and I must have looked like some broken down jalopy beside this fella who was just gliding over the ground. But look, 'tis rare these days to see a fella go his whole career in one club. And you know, Connacht have had rare good days, but a lot of tough days, and to spend all that time in there, you know, flying the flag for Connemara and reminding everybody in there that we're still out here. So look, we've all been hugely proud of him. We're immensely thankful to Aidan over the years. He did huge work, Tiernan's father, yeah, with the likes of Henry O'Toole. We sadly lost Pete Smith, another absolute stalwart and gentleman of the club, who would have been a great friend of Aidan's, and you'd rarely go of a night out after a match, you'd find the two of them. I used to say, if you needed to escape the madness of the lads or the players dropping shots or whatever it might be, you could always go over and get a nice few words from Aidan and Pete. So yeah, good times.
We also have the president of Connemara Rugby with us, Kieran Staunton. Kieran, good morning. talk us through some of your highlights at the club over the past few years.
Hello, John. How are things? Well, I'm being president now for the this year into my first year, and I started following Connemara rugby, I suppose, when I moved here in 1987, following on from watching likes of Henry O'Toole and them, whatever, like, and just gave us, it was just, there was no rugby in East Galway. And then coming to Connemara and seeing this, I mean, because there was no hurling here when I played hurling. So rugby was the natural thing then for me to get into and whatever. And it's been brilliant over the years. And like Mark said there, when they won and went up into the AIL, it was a great highlight for all for Connemara, you know. And he said about half of Connemara being up there in Lansdowne Road, sea of black all through. Yeah. And over the years then, the last few years, with my own sons playing and that, it's been good. This year, we won the Junior Cup there not too long ago. We got beat in the league final. So we came very close to doing the double again. We had done the double the last few years. It's just great to see all the young fellas coming through. And in the Junior Cup final, we have a good array of ages on the team as well. Like a guy came on for the last 5 minutes, Alan Keogh, who had come back from Australia and playing with lads 20 years of age, you know. And the last time Alan had played in a Junior Cup final, these lads hadn't been born, you know. So there was a good mix across the board there, like, you know.
So Henry O'Toole, you mentioned, an absolute legend of the game, and he's getting honoured.
Henry's getting honoured, yes. Next Friday night, May the 10th, we're having our annual awards night, end of year social, whatever. But on the same night then, there's a Mr. Boots award. And Mr. Boots, Willie John McBride, retired in 1980. I hung up his boots, and he started this thing for junior rugby people that have contributed either playing, coaching, or, you know, on the backside of it, administration or whatever, the whole lot, to the thing, to rugby. So it was an All-Ireland thing, so there was one person picked from the whole of Ireland. They then broke it down into four provinces. So last year was Connacht's turn. So we got an email, the club, whatever, and we decided we'd nominate Henry. We're not known to the club nominate him, but he got nominations all across Connacht. And Henry was selected as the winner. So next Friday night, he's going to be honoured. It's like, as I said, it's like a Ryder Cup. He's getting a green jacket that had to be made. We had to get the measurements from his lovely wife, Maeve, and get it off to be made for him. And he got a presentation of that on the night by the chairman, and a medal as well for the same thing.
Brilliant.
You know.
It's great. It's great to see that, and we can't wait to hear how it all goes this day week as well. So best of luck to you all in Connemara Rugby. But Kieran Staunton and Mark Foyle and Jack Cosgrove, thank you all for joining us in the sports section. You better clear out, because I think there's about 100 musicians coming in next. Good morning.
Good morning.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Visit Windsor Motor Mall Galway on the Monavay Road. A new way to car shop.
The Community Matters series is brought to you by Galway Bay FM and is funded by Commission na Meán.
You're listening to Community Matters with John Morley, and there's more accordions and instruments in here than there are people going to be in Pearse Stadium on Sunday. But we're joined across me now by Marie Welsh of the local Ceoltis branch. Marie, you have a lot of talented students here, and there's a great tradition built up now over the past few years with the Ceoltis branch here.
There is indeed, John. Thanks very much for having us on this morning. So these are all students from Clifton Community School, and I have to give a shout out to Nicola Snow there and their teacher for bringing them in this morning. And they're all members of our Clifton Ceoltis branch, which has seen a great revival here, I suppose, in the past 10 years especially, with our Clifton Traditional Music Festival and our monthly events here in the Ceoltis branch. It's great to see that music and youth is definitely alive here in the whole Connemara region.
And you're born and bred from here, and your father is just, he was a legend of the music scene as well.
Yeah, so I'm just from out the road in a village called Gowlan. And my late dad, John G. Walsh, was a founding member of the branch, I suppose, back in maybe in the 70s, actually. And then was again involved in the revival of it in 2009. And he sadly passed away in 2019. But he's left a great legacy with all these young musicians. He was a well-known accordion player around here and around the whole country. Music was a major part of his life. And so we're continuing as best we can the tradition here in Clifton.
Mm. I know you're very involved in teaching and the Trad Fest, and you've won many All-Irelands. Just talk us through what's you're going to play for us today as well.
Yeah, so I'm a full-time teacher of music, and I'm actually heading out to Letterfrack National School. I know they're listening in, so I have to give them a little shout out there morning. And with these students here, we're going to play this morning a couple of jigs. So the first jig is called The Gander at the Pretty Hole, and the second one is actually one that my late dad composed called The Invisible Dog.
In your own time. Well done to all involved there. And your second song, Marie?
Yeah, so we'll continue with another piece. We'll do a hornpipe called Off to California, and we'll finish off with a reel called The Stone of Destiny.
Brilliant. Thank you. That's brilliant. Marie Welch, thank you for joining us on Community Matters. And if people want to join the great Kyoltas branch here, how do they do that?
Yeah, so we're very active on Facebook. We have a great page there, Clifton Kyoltas, and also galwaykyoltas.ie. If you go on there and you'll see all our details, and we'd be delighted. Everyone is most welcome to join.
Thanks. You're all very talented. Thanks for joining us. The concentration in that, it's just brilliant. It's great how much they all know. They didn't have to look at the equipment and the different, whether it's the accordions or the guitar. So well done to all involved there. We're back and we're talking to Tony Coyne and Lisa King. Good morning.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Drive happy in Windsor Motor Mall, Galway, with hundreds of used cars to suit your budget.
The Community Matters series is brought to you by Galway Bay FM and is funded by Commission Mignon.
We're still in the Woodfield Hotel for Community Matters and you're listening to us and we're broadcasting live. We have Lisa King and Tony Coyne in front of us. Lisa, to you first, good morning.
You've been
very involved in business of the town and you've a very renowned family business there for the past number of years.
Why, thank you. Yes, we're famous.
Tell us a bit about it.
So we own King's Paper Shop in Clifton. Myself and my mother run it together. We're a great team. People will always say that you never see one without the other, really. Even when we were doing all our volunteer work with the Chamber, we come as a double act.
And you love paper so much you moved back from Spain.
I did. It's probably more my family that I loved, but yeah, no, I lived in Spain for 3 or 4 years and it's a great life and it's a fabulous country, but I was home nearly every other month to see the family and help out in the shop. This is before we even owned it. It was the previous owner, Brendan O'Scannell, who you actually spoke to earlier. Back when he owned it, and I was always popping home to help out, and the flights got too expensive, so I thought I'd just move home.
It's obvious that a town like Clifton can sustain that type of, you know, family business.
Oh, it's great. And you know, it's actually sad because a lot of our reps have told us throughout the last few years especially that our kind of business is like a dying breed, which is sad really, because there's nothing like a nice independent family run shop, you know. Like, we're have Santa come to the shop, we support different charities, we do massive fundraisers, we know all our customers, and you know, it's a social aspect as well as people coming in to buy things. Like, a lot of our elderly customers come in, we have a nice chat, we have a coffee and we look after them, and or they'll call us on the phone. Like, during COVID we had a lot of our elderly customers that were too afraid to leave their house and come in, so like they'd just call us and we'd sort them out, and like we go above and beyond for anything we can do our locals.
And you're quite a trailblazer yourself, because I know you're the president of the Chamber of Commerce, the youngest and the second female.
I was. I'm very proud of that. To be fair now, Terry O'Toole, who was on earlier, isn't that much older than me, but still it counts. But myself and Terry worked really well together for years, and yeah, it was an amazing experience.
And I know you want to encourage people to come here all year round. That's part of your big drive with it.
We do. Like, Connemara is such a fantastic place to be. You know, like, last year myself and my boyfriend decided that every Sunday we were both off and we were going to just do something locally, and it is amazing. The amount of things to do around here is absolutely fabulous when you actually look into it, you know. You have everything you hear from, like, need here, from all the outdoor activities to the amazing scenery, all the beaches. We have fabulous shops, you know, beautiful restaurants, pubs. Oh, we're so blessed to be here. And, you know, people don't come to Ireland for the weather, you know. So put on a good jacket and you can come here all year round.
Definitely. Now, we also have Tony Coyne with us. Tony, good morning.
Morning, John.
You were from the outskirts of town, but you moved in then.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, originally we lived in that Dunian Road, which is just not far down the opposite in the town. So, yeah, the family back in the 90s, we moved to Churchill, the Churchill area in the town, and been there since.
And you're very involved at the GAA, and there's been a lot of development there in the past few years.
Yeah, we are, as you say, involved in the GAA, the local club here in town. We were founded back in 1912, so we're 112 years on the go, and the local pitch is just out the Galway Road, up there at the top of the Hospital Hill. And a major development, yeah. The pitch really only was developed there in the 80s, and since then the dress rooms came in the 90s. We developed and built a meeting room there, and just has kitchen facilities, so we can host local clubs when they come in that. And as you say, probably one of the biggest developments the club took on the last few years, there has been an astro pitch development, and that, thankfully, it's nearly there. We're down now this stage just to the signing of papers and certificates from contractors and engineers and that, and it'll be massive, a massive development to have. It's great, great for our own club, it's great for the locality and great for the town as well to have. You know, it'll be there.
We were talking to one of your legends earlier on, Jack Cosgrove, but I know you lost another legend there recently.
That's right, we did. We had a great character of the town, and actually known as Peter Fitzpatrick, but everybody knew him as Peter Fitz, and everyone will always remember your first teacher, your first whatever. It was my first football coach. I think everyone will always remember your first football coach. I remember back when we were in the national school, down the old boys' school there, and he used to come in and take us out playing football at lunchtime. Just give up his time for free, you know, and even back in the days in the summertime when there was no iPads, no iPhones, no TVs, very little TV, no Sky Sports. He set up summer leagues, and, you know, we played football as youngsters. You had maybe the Dunian Road, Ballyconnelly Road against the town, and they had the Sky Road and Gawler Road, and there were seven-a-side tournaments, and, you know, you remember that growing up back when we were youngsters, and he was part to set up that, and I'd say this. Numerous footballers down through the years, younger than me, older than me, that will remember Peter Fitz as our first ever coach. And he was just, as I said, a great, you know, great legend of the town, a great character, always interested in the football. Every time you met him in the street, it was always the football, how the team were going, and all of that. So, huge loss to the town, huge loss to the club as well, you know, as I said. And definitely for sure.
Or Yeshig or Evahanna. Must be his month's mind soon, is it?
It is. I think tomorrow evening is his month's mind now. Tomorrow night at the church is a month's mind mass for him tomorrow evening.
We're thinking of them all this morning. To your day job, though, Tony, because Connemara Carpets, a unique trade and a unique craft.
It is, yeah. It's I've been there a long time since I left school. Yeah, it's known back. It's set up back in the 70s. It was originally known as McMurrah Carpets. Changed names by a number of years ago to Connemara Carpets, and it's still going strong today. It is. It's 100% wool, custom made, made to order. It's bespoke rugs, wall hangings. We do. It's gone worldwide down through the years. Down through the years, been worldwide marketing, and even today, as I say, it's going strong today. And it's there's no job too small, no job too big, and. Yeah, we've supplied, as I said, even locally, and good Irish market there at the moment now as well.
Yeah.
So it's been good. It's been very good.
And the work you do you actually have a shears, or how do you do it?
Yeah, there's probably two different elements to our job. There's the tufters, the guys that do the tufting above the carpet is actually tufted and made on the high, big high frames, and then I'd be part of what they call the finishing area.
Yeah.
Which effectively is the shearing and the carving, and the shearing is like, it's like cutting the lawn, if you want to a degree. When it comes down, you have all the threads that are hanging loose and all that. They all have to be smoothed out to make a smooth finish. And then you have various different designs in the carpets, and what the carving brings, it maybe brings what you could call, a lot of people say it brings something like a 3D effect. Mm. It stands out more. It makes things stand out more. And so it's an interesting... I've done numerous things down through the years, numerous designs. And as I said, there's nothing that we cannot do, nothing that we've never turned down and all that. So it's been a huge part of my life. It's been my job for years, and long may continue on that.
It's fascinating. And Lisa, back to you. Alcock and Brown, big part of this town, and you've been very involved in that with the Chamber.
Oh, such a huge part of the town. I know that Terry talked about the centenary events that we have, but then after that we also got a casting of the Alcock and Brown statue that's in Heathrow, and we have our own statue now made from the cast of that, which is absolutely fabulous on square. Wow. And that was all thanks to the Trojan work of Brian Hughes and Sean and Bernadine Mulryan, who sponsored it, and it's such a huge addition to the town. And we were so lucky, because just before COVID hit we had the unveiling of that statue, and it was a massive thing for the town. There was hundreds of people here, all the press were here, and we were so lucky. It was like a week later that everything shut down. So for me, like, I will never forget that. That was absolutely the beginning of COVID for me.
We'll be back with you again on the 16th of May, I believe, to talk about all the housing situation with the latest survey. So we look forward to hearing the results on that, and people can go on to the Connemara Chamber to get more details on that as well. Lisa King and Tony Coyne, thank you both for joining us on Community Matters today. That's where we're going to make the leave for the programme today. My thanks to everyone who helped out, the fellas and ladies in Connemara Chamber, the Woodfield Hotel who hosted us tonight. Oh my God, we have someone with a Mayo jersey here. She's very brave given the weekend that's in it. It's actually the New York one as well, so it's freshly made. She's a diehard, this one, whoever that is. And I don't know who it is, but anyways, you never know what will happen on these programmes. Where was I? Yes, thanks to the Woodfield Hotel who looked after myself and Sean Mulma Kieran last night very well, and this morning as well. And thanks to Donald Sullivan, who set up, Doc back at base, who engineered, Sean, who helped me produce this and who's done social media as well. So from all of us here in Clifton, have a very good morning, and we'll be back with you again after the bank holiday weekend. and Lardner is up next with the Livewire. Good morning from all of us in Clifton. Take care and stay safe.
Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Visit Windsor Motor Mall Galway and get free 3-year warranty on hundreds of used cars.